You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or find our other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
Si spoke to us a while ago about how God has provided us means by which we can increasingly know him. And these things are the Bible, their prayer, and the Spirit. And these things, they're not like the end themselves. They are a means to an end, and that end is Jesus. So Chris spoke to us about how prayer works in this. Katie spoke to us about the role of the Bible in this. And today, I'm going to be speaking about the role of the Spirit. And we're going to be looking at John 16, verse 14 together. So why don't you turn there now in your Bibles, just so you're ready for when we come to it in a bit. That's John 16, verse 14. As you find that, though, let's just take a moment to be real. We are all hungry. Not physically necessarily, but spiritually. This is like the state and the condition of our hearts. They are hungry. And if you disagree with me, then I've got to break it to you. You're deceived. Be honest with yourself. You are always wanting. There's an emptiness within you that you are constantly trying to find something to fill it. However, whatever that something is, it never really satisfies. This is the problem that every single one of us has. This is our problem. The good news is that God the Father has provided a solution. He has provided us his son, Jesus. He is the one who truly satisfies. He's the one who makes you and me say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He's the one who can fill this emptiness. He's the one you're searching for. In fact, he is the end of your search. He is the bread to your hungry heart. But I think we still have a problem. How do we, come to know this Jesus? How do we get to him? To follow the hunger and bread analogy further, how do we eat him? If he's the bread of life, how do we eat him? How do we taste him? Well, the good news is that God the Son has provided a solution. He has provided the Spirit. God the Spirit has been given to us. And today we're going to begin to know him a little bit better. So, John 16, verse 14. Before we read this, I just want to encourage you to consider what your just one thing might be this week. So that one thing could be a change in thinking. It could be a change in belief. Or it could be something you do. As we read this verse and unpack what it's saying, I want us to reflect. Reflect and then decide, what's that one thing going to be in light of everything we look at? Now, what's happening in John at this point is Jesus is in front of his disciples, his followers, sharing his kind of final words with them. And he is doing this just before he's arrested and then crucified. And he's saying all sorts of things. It's a very long, extended bit of sort of dialogue from Jesus. And he teaches them about the Holy Spirit in this dialogue. And here he's come back to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and what he'll do. And then in verse 14, it says this. This is John 16, verse 14. Jesus says about the Spirit, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I'll read that one more time. "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Okay, so Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit will glorify him. But what does it mean for the Spirit to glorify Jesus? Well, it means his objective, his aim, his goal is to make Jesus appear amazing to us. He doesn't make Jesus amazing. Jesus is already infinitely amazing. What the Spirit does is he helps us to see to know, to understand just how amazing Jesus really is. In fact, he doesn't just help us see and know something like on an intellectual level. He helps us to experience the goodness of Jesus. He helps us to taste how good, how great he really is. It's like his job is to magnify him, but not like a magnifying glass. You know a magnifying glass? Like you often use them at school to look at small things, and magnifying glasses make small things look bigger to you. That's not what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus. It's more like a telescope. When you look for a telescope, what happens is a massive thing that maybe looks small in your view suddenly appears to be as big as it really is. That's what the Holy Spirit does with Jesus. He magnifies Jesus. So we see him just how as amazing as he is. He's constantly trying to draw attention to Jesus. He's constantly trying to make much of him. This is what he's up to. Right now, the Holy Spirit is doing that. That's what he's doing. Like, that is good news. Come on, that's good news. We are so hungry. We're in such need. And the Spirit is the one who glorifies the one we need. The Spirit is the one who glorifies the one we are so, so hungry for. There are so many distractions, right, in life. There's so many competing affections in our hearts. There are so many things that tempt our hope in different directions, all of which don't really cut it, but they're so present in our lives. But here we have a helper. The Spirit is the helper who gets alongside you and me, and he points us to Jesus, the one who is supreme in every single respect. And Jesus will not let us down. As an aside, I wonder whether this has implications for some of us, implications particularly on our expectations of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Maybe this brings some shape to those expectations. Maybe this brings some correction, in fact, to misconceptions that some of us might have when it comes to the activity of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit, the ministry of the Spirit in our lives personally as individuals, but also corporately as a gathered people. I wonder. Anyway, I'll leave that one out there. So the Spirit will glorify Jesus. And then Jesus says, let's look back at verse 14, he says, "For he will take what is mine and declare it to you." I think the word "for" here tells us that the Spirit taking what is Jesus's and declaring it to us is the how he glorifies Jesus. So you could say it like the Spirit glorifies Jesus by declaring the things of Jesus. But what are those things that the Spirit declares? And what does declare mean? What does it actually mean for the Spirit to declare those things? And who is the you even that Jesus is talking about here? Who is the Spirit declaring things to? Lots of questions. Let's begin with the one where we're asking, what does Jesus mean by declare? So let's start there. So the word declare in the Bible, in other translations in this verse, can appear as disclose or to make known. In other places in the Bible, this word sometimes gets translated as report or announce. Okay, so I think the point that Jesus is making is the Spirit reveals and uncovers the things of Jesus. Like he's drawing the curtain back on the things of Jesus. He is helping make those things that are there. The things of Jesus are there, but the Spirit is making them clear, making them obvious, making them perceivable to us, making them comprehensible, making them known. It's like the Spirit is presenting us with these things and saying, like, it puts them in front of us and goes, look, take, eat. It's a bit like what a Bluetooth speaker does. So this is my Bluetooth speaker, okay? I'm sure this is quite a familiar device to many of you. What does this do? That's my question. What does this device do? Why don't you just turn to the person next to you and take 30 seconds, okay, to try and tell them simply, what does a Bluetooth speaker do? And both of you have a go. 30 seconds, off you go.
Okay, it's time to draw your conversations to a close and start listening to Nathan again. In 10, 9, 8.
Wow, you guys
7,
are quick.
6, 5, 4.
I've got to see it through.
3, 2, 1.
You guys are so well behaved. You're probably actually so quick to respond because you're like, what on earth is going on down there? That's probably what was going on. Anyway, so I don't know what you said, but I would say a Bluetooth speaker amplifies audio. Like in the simplest way, it amplifies audio. It makes audio louder, but it doesn't amplify its own audio, right? What it does is it takes the audio of another device and makes that audio louder and perceivable. It amplifies that. You could say it takes that which belongs to the device and declares it to everyone else, right? Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Like the speaker, the Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and like amplifies them to us, declares them to us. But our next question is, what are those things? What are the things that the Spirit is declaring or amplifying? What are the things of Jesus? Well, I believe the things are everything that is bound up in Jesus. So that's the revelation and the realities in him. I'll say that again. I believe the things of Jesus are everything that is bound up in him. The revelation and the realities of him and in him. And there are, by the way, so many of them. There are so many things I could tell you about. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just take you through fairly quickly 12 of those things. Okay? Here are 12 things of Jesus. The first one is this, his words. So Jesus' teaching brings life. What is that Peter says in John 6? He says, to whom else shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. His words are more precious than gold. They're sweeter than honey. They revive the soul. They're a lamp to our feet. Jesus' words. Thing number two, his identity. So Jesus is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah who has come. Again, Peter speaks up when Jesus asks his followers, but who do you say that I am? And Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thing three, his compassion. Hear this morning. When Jesus looks at you, even right now, when he looks at you, compassion bursts forth from his heart. He sees you. He knows you. And he is moved for you. In fact, he is moved towards you. This is why Jesus came. He came for people like you and me. Okay, thing number four, his mercy. The psalmist says, the Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Oh, this is so sweet. This is so sweet. Fellow sinners, Jesus does not treat us as we deserve to be treated. You may not realize this, but we deserve condemnation. That's what we deserve. Yet God is rich in mercy. And because he's rich in mercy, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. And every day when you wake up and you open your eyes, again, whether you realize it or not, there are new mercies for you. His mercy. Number five, his grace. He does not just not give us what we deserve. He also gives us what we don't deserve. He doesn't just not give us what we deserve. He also gives us what we don't deserve. For those of us in Christ, we are spiritually minted. Right? Again, whether you realize it or not, you in Christ are spiritually rich. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And it's not thanks to you. It's not thanks to me. It's not thanks to anything else but Jesus and Jesus alone. It is a generous gift from him to you. It's for you from our Savior. No, John Newton famously described it like this, and I think he's right when he says, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." Jesus' grace really is amazing. But he also loves you. So the next thing is his love. Again, hear this morning. Jesus loves you. And his love abounds. It overflows from his heart. It is high. It is wide. It is long. It is deep. It is passionate. It is steadfast. In the words of Nathan Hood, who is a local Christian singer-songwriter, his love is immeasurable, unquantifiable, it's inexhaustible, it never runs out, never runs out, it's undeniable, it's irrefusable, oh, the most beautiful, it never runs out on me. Do you believe that? If you're struggling to believe that, just look at the cross of Christ. God demonstrates his love for us that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe right now, you're experiencing the declaring work of the Spirit in your heart. Like maybe right now, you just sense this stuff becoming real to you. Like maybe you're almost like tasting just how sweet this is, either like you've never done before or like you haven't done for a while. If that's you, that is the Spirit at work in you right now. He is right now declaring the things of Jesus to you. Thing seven, his blood. You know what? I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus. It's a strange thing to say, isn't it, in like our times and culture and society. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus. But I am. Because if Jesus hadn't died shedding his blood on the cross, I would have no hope. It is the blood of Jesus that takes away my sin. It is the blood of Jesus that makes me right with God. It's the blood of Jesus that brings me back into relationship with him and establishes peace with him. It is the blood of Jesus that saves me. And that is true for you as well. The blood of Jesus saves you. The blood of Jesus is your hope as well. Thing eight, his resurrection. We know, right, that Jesus didn't stay dead. He's no longer dead. On the third day, Jesus came back to life, and he is now alive. Death has been beaten. Life has no end. There is hope beyond the grave. There is hope of a better tomorrow. New life is here. Transformation is here. And not just that. he has ascended. Where is Jesus now? He's alive, but where is he? Well, he's ascended into heaven. He is there right now. And you know what he's doing? He's interceding for you. He's interceding for you. That means he's praying for you. That's just a mind-blowing concept to get your head around, right? Jesus is praying for you. Right now in heaven, Jesus is before the Father and he's being your advocate. He's defending you. He's keeping you. He's securing your life right now in heaven. And he's not just interceding, but he's reigning. He is, again, right now on the throne of the whole universe. And he has his feet up. He sat down with his feet up and his enemies are his footrest. That's pretty cool. He is the king who has won. The victory is his and he is the king of wisdom, justice and righteousness, and he is completely and utterly in control over every atom. And soon he's going to come back. This is the last thing, his coming. Jesus is going to return. One day, Jesus will make everything that is wrong done with. And he's going to make everything right. Everything is going to be made right when he comes back. He will usher in the new heavens and the new earth, and everything, all will be well. Forever. Oh, what a savior. Isn't Jesus wonderful? He is, oh wow, I'm amazed by him. He's spectacular. And the Spirit is the one who gets alongside you and me. And he helps us to see, to know, to understand, to taste and experience this Jesus. Do you therefore realize how much we need the Spirit? Do you therefore realize how much you need the Spirit? And he's all yours. He's all yours. The Spirit has been sent. The Spirit has been given. He has come. He is here. He is available to you and me right here, right now. Yes, you. You are the you in Jesus' words in John 16, verse 14. Sure, he was talking and saying these things to the 11 men that were in front of him in that room, at that place, at that time. And sure, for them, these words, I think, to a degree, carry a level of specific and unique meaning for them in light of the ministry God had for them to do. However, the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit, has been given to us as well. He's been given to you. You, just as you are. Lowly you. Needy you. Hungry you. That doesn't count you out. If anything, that's what qualifies you. This is why Jesus has sent the Spirit. It's why he describes the Spirit's coming as advantageous to you, or it's better that he goes and sends the Spirit, because we need him. We need him to help us, like I say, see, understand, know, taste, and experience Jesus. I'm going to finish by sharing what Jesus says again, and then I'm going to pray. So if the band could come up and get ready, that'd be great. So this is John 16, verse 14. Just let these words just ring in your mind as we come to land. Jesus says, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Holy Spirit, we are so hungry. So show us Jesus. We are so in need. So show us Jesus. We are wanting. So show us Jesus. Holy Spirit, take what is his and declare it to us. Glorify Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to, let's stand together. What we're going to do is we're going to say that prayer I've just prayed together. Because sometimes we don't really know how to respond to Jesus and to his word. We sometimes don't know what to pray, what to say. So I'm helping you out by giving you some words that you can make your own this morning. And we can make it our own as well. Like together as a family, these can be our words, our prayer together. And then what we'll do is after that, we'll sing. So the words should come up on the screen. I'll move out the way so I can see them too. So let's say these together. Holy Spirit, we are hungry, so show us Jesus. We are in need, so show us Jesus. We are wanting, so show us Jesus. Take what is his and declare it to us. Glorify his name. Amen. Great. Let's sing together. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.